It's almost time for tip-off. It's almost time to start your first lineup for your first week of fantasy basketball, and we've got you covered like nobody else. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast at CBSSports.com, the only place to come to get your basketball knowledge, because we've got the best in the business. I'm Jamie Eisenberg, and joining me, as always, is the reigning fantasy basketball writer of the year, Sergio Gonzalez. Nobody knows fantasy basketball like Sergio. Sergio!
You like to build me up, Jamie.
I like to build you up, and then everybody else will tear you down. big news of opening night.
Yeah, the
biggest. Blake Griffin is going to be out for 6 weeks. For most people, I have not had my final draft yet.
Wow.
But for most people, they've had their final draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're done, and they probably drafted Blake Griffin to be a starter, or at least a key reserve. And this is bad, bad news.
Yeah, it's definitely not the news you want to hear going into the first night of the NBA season. The Clippers had four games this week, so he was going to be active in most fantasy lineups. Now fantasy owners are scrounging to pick up some loose, whatever they can find off the waiver wire to fill up their lineups. It's not exactly the ideal situation, but what are you going to do?
Who replaces him? Camby's obviously still dealing with a lingering injury. Chris Kamen is back from last year's foot problems.
It's going to be a situation where Craig Smith and DeAndre Jordan will see an increase in minutes. Camby, the last I heard about Camby was that they were expecting him to play, but not significant minutes. So he might be in the starting lineup. He might not be. It could be Craig Smith, who has some experience when he was with the Timberwolves. I like Craig Smith a little bit more than DeAndre Jordan. We've seen DeAndre Jordan have a few big games in the past with the Clippers, but
that was when Camby was hurt, though.
When Camby was hurt,
it
was very sporadic. I think they're both worth taking a flyer on if you have the roster space. I would, if I had to rank them, I would go Craig Smith over DeAndre Jordan. The Clippers, like I mentioned, do have four games this week, but unless you're in a really, really deep league where you're starting maybe five forwards, I wouldn't recommend starting them. And the only leagues where you'd even consider it this week are in cumulative scoring leagues. I would hopefully you drafted a deep enough bench that you have a reserve forward to go with. You're going to have to stick it out for the first month or it's going to be a month or two maybe with Blake Griffin. You're going to have to stick it out and just hope for the best.
In our 30-team league, which is CBS versus the world, 15 members of CBSSports.com, 15 members of other, 14 members of other sites, and one person in particular who is a former member of CBSSports.com, so he gets a courtesy invitation every year to this league.
He helped me co-found the league. We're talking about Brian Flood.
The reason we're talking about Mr. Brian Flood is because he drafted Blake Griffin. So as of right now, there is a young man in New York going, oh, I can't believe he's hurt.
Yeah, for those of you who've been with us for a few years, you might remember Brian Flood. He contributed great fantasy basketball content with us. Then he moved on to Roto World. He's now working for the NFL office, but he's still in our 30 deep league because he was a co-founder.
He's in because you like him. That's the only reason he's in.
Well, he's actually been to the finals the last 2 years.
Doesn't matter.
So.
He's in because you like him.
He was blowing up my email this morning because he has Blake Griffin.
Oh, it's the worst day ever.
He has Blake Griffin in pretty much all his leagues, so he's like a lot of fantasy owners out there. He's very frustrated right now.
Yes, well, especially in a league like that where there are no moves to make. But I think he drafted him in the other league that we're in with him.
He said he has him pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Well, listen. I mean, you know, you're taking a guy that has a lot of upside. You just got to hope that this doesn't turn into a Greg Oden type situation where it just completely ruins his first rookie or his only rookie season, his first season in the NBA. All right. Let's just go through the injuries because this is the biggest thing for people, not only setting their lineups, but also what they have to look forward to as we go into the next couple of weeks as we deal with setting your lineups and keeping you up to date with all of the news and information. Let's start with the suspensions. Rashard Lewis is out for 10 games. J.R. Smith is out for 7 games. And Jason Richardson is out for 2 games. Those are the three biggest suspensions. There are a couple minor ones, but no real interest in terms of fantasy players. With those three guys, let's start with Orlando. Rashard Lewis out for 10 games. Who steps up in his place? Who is somebody that fantasy owners can potentially target? Obviously, Dwight Howard, Vince Carter, Jameer Nelson, those guys are off the board. But who are some people that if you're looking for, maybe if you lost Blake Griffin and you need to pick up player X, who's somebody that can step up?
Well, for starters, it's going to be Mikal Petras or Michael Petras. How do you pronounce his name?
It's Mikal Petras.
Mikal Petras. He's going to be starting at small forward.
Viva La France.
Yeah. He's going to be starting at small forward for the next 2.5 weeks for the first three scoring periods of the fantasy season, pretty
much. Now, I want to stop you there because that's newsworthy to an extent, because if people didn't follow what happened to Orlando in the offseason, you know about Vince Carter coming. But the difference with now Vince Carter being on the court, Rashard Lewis, who was a natural three, mm-hmm. had been playing the four since he signed with Orlando because of Hedo Turkoglu being there.
Right.
Turkoglu gone. You replace essentially Courtney Lee in the starting lineup with Vince Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to move Rashard Lewis from the four to the three, and Brandon Bass is going to start at the four.
Right.
So you're saying Patriots starting at the three, that's replacing Lewis in now his new role.
Exactly.
Okay.
As far as the starting lineup is concerned, Rashard Lewis was going to start a small forward. Mm-hmm. Since he's out, it's going to be Michael Petras for the first 3 weeks. But the player who I think is going to get the biggest fantasy boost is going to be Rashard Lewis. For Rashard Lewis, it's going to be Brandon Bass,
okay.
who is going to be starting at power forward. He is more of a rebounder than Rashard Lewis ever was. We know Dwight Howard's there, but he's not getting every rebound. And
he
gets most of them. But Brandon Bass could be a player that we could see getting anywhere from 7 to 9 rebounds per game. Not every night, but I think he'll average around 7 rebounds per game, especially in these first few weeks, where the minutes are going to have to increase with Rashard Lewis out. I really like Brandon Bass, especially for the first 3 weeks.
Now, do you see him becoming more of a scorer? Because when he was in Dallas, he was essentially playing the five.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they would do is they would take out Dampier, they would put in Brandon Bass, who's an undersized five and even an undersized four.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a big body. He's almost like a mini Dwight Howard. He's not going to get a lot of touches with his back to the basket. So where are the points going to come from? Because Rashard Lewis is a shooter, and that's essentially his role at the four or the three.
Right.
So where is Brandon Bass going to find points?
Petras is going to be the player that's going to stretch out defenses the way Rashard Lewis did. Brandon Bass is a player who actually, if you look at his numbers when he was with Dallas, in very limited playing time, I think he averaged something like 20 minutes per game. He averaged like 8.9 points per game.
Yeah, his projected numbers would have been huge.
Yeah, so if you average that out over 48 minutes, it's pretty significant. He's not going to, like you said, Dwight Howard's going to get the looks in the low post. Brandon Bass, I think he's going to be more of a player who picks up loose scraps type of thing, like where if Dwight Howard gets doubled up, he's going to look to Brandon Bass to unload. He'll get an easy dunk here and there. I think as long as he gets the minutes, like we saw with Dallas, he can do a lot with whenever he gets looks. If he's getting anywhere from 30 to 35 minutes, I can see him averaging 10 points per game.
I think that's a safe estimate. You know, so there's a guy you could look to pick up if he's available and if you're missing Blake Griffin. J.R. Smith out for 7 games. What does that do to Denver's backcourt?
Denver was going to start. They weren't going to start
J.R. Smith
anyway. He was going to come off the bench. It's going to be a situation there where Chauncey Billups and it's off the top of my head.
Is it Aaron Aflalo?
Aaron Aflalo is the guy who's going to be starting.
Yeah, Dante Jones is now gone.
Right, Dante Jones is in Indiana now. Aaron Aflalo, he's one of those starters by name only. He's more of a place filler. He's not going to put up significant stats.
But he could for 2 weeks, though.
I don't know
significant stats,
right.
But for 2 weeks he could be a decent player.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend starting him in week one by any means. I definitely recommend keeping an eye on him, and if for whatever reason he gets out there where he's playing 35 minutes because J.R. Smith isn't there, and just as a result of that he's putting up close to 10 points per game, sure, he'd be worth picking up in leagues of 12-plus teams.
Does this help, especially in roto formats, Ty Lawson and Anthony Carter? Because the Nuggets have known to go, especially last year, they did this a lot,
mm-hmm.
they would go almost with a three-guard rotation with Billups, Carter, and Smith, and they would put Carmelo at the four at a lot of times. Do you see that this benefiting one of those two backup point guards?
I could see Ty Lawson getting more minutes. I also see Carmelo Anthony maybe playing a little bit more at the two.
And who playing at the three?
And then they could play big with Chris Anderson and Nene, and they can get all their bigs in there. It's going to be interesting to see the first week. I think Aflalo, would you want him in your starting lineup?
No, but I think, first of all, Ty Lawson, I believe his last preseason game, or at least his second to last preseason game, had a great performance. I think it was against the Clippers, it was against the Lakers. He had a good preseason game there. The Nuggets rested a lot of their stars.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter, listen, for as bad of a basketball player as he may be, he gets you good assists, he gets you some steals, he's good for about 6 to 8 points a game
mm-hmm.
in the Nuggets offense. And George Karl loves him. I mean, you know, that's one thing that's interesting is George Karl is very.
He trusts him.
Yes, he sticks to his veteran guys.
Right.
And so, I'll say, you know, you and I had a discussion about my 30-team league, which is the extent of where we're talking about with guys like Anthony Carter.
Right.
But, I think I may have to play him in place of Iverson this week because without Iverson, you know, you told me to go DeMar DeRozan. Carter may give me some cheap assists.
So this is definitely the week. If you're ever going to start him, this is the week.
Sure, absolutely.
I think you'd have to be in a big league like that 13.
Yeah, but again, if you're in a roto format and maybe you took him on the off chance that, you know, to maybe help you with assists down the road or to an injury, this is one of those scenarios where you can stick him in there, I think, with the 7 games that J.R. Smith is going to be out.
Sure.
Jason Richardson is going to miss 2 games. I think the only thing we should say is just to keep him reserved for week 1.
Yeah. You'll be able to activate him week 2, but week 1 you can't. Except for if you are in an average-based league, because he will play 1 game, you could take the chance and activate him. But in any cumulative format, you're going to want to reserve him.
Now, is there anybody for Phoenix for week 1 that can be a replacement?
Step up for Jason Richardson?
Yes.
I guess Grant Hill could see some more touches in the offense. With Phoenix, it's one of those things where they're another one of those high-flying, high-volume offenses. They're going to score a lot of points. Leandro Barbosa is probably going to see a bigger role.
So if Barbosa's on your bench, you'd start Barbosa this
week? Yeah, this is a good week to start Barbosa.
That's a good call. Mm-hmm. All right, one of the other bigger injuries besides Blake Griffin is Paul Gasol, who is probably going to miss the first week. And this is something that could linger. You know, I think a lot of people, you had to draft Gasol late first round, early second round, because in leagues where you can use him in both spots, he's dual eligible at forward and center. He's obviously a tremendous presence with or without Andrew Bynum there. But this hamstring problem has lingered all throughout the preseason. Any cause for concern, not only this week, which I think the safe bet you would agree is to rest him this week, but what about going forward with Gasol?
Yeah, you absolutely have to rest Gasol. And the thing that has me worried about this injury in particular is that he doesn't sound like he wants to push it, and neither does the team. Obviously, we know with the Lakers, they have big plans this season, and they want to make sure they're as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. They're not exactly worried about the first few games of the season, and it doesn't sound like they're going to push their stars big man. So I would not be surprised to see this turn into a 2-3-4-game situation where you don't have them. You're definitely going to want to reserve them in all leagues for week 1. Pay attention to our updates and everything throughout the week to see if you'll be able to use him in week 2. Once he gets back on the floor, he'll be fine, and you shouldn't feel bad that you took him in the first round, but the first week or two could be a little tricky.
In leagues where you only start one center, does Andrew Bynum, who's on the cusp of a top 12 option in a lot of leagues, does he become more valuable as long as Gasol is out?
Oh, absolutely, and he's not the only one. The situation in L.A. is that they have so many options. They have so many scorers. They have so many people on that team that they kind of water each other down in terms of their production. Anytime you remove any one of those players out of the equation, then it gives a chance for the other players to step up. And we're talking about Ron Artest now, who we were expecting a little bit of a decline. We're talking
Lamar Odom the biggest boost as long as one of the two big guys
is out? Oh, absolutely. And we saw that last year with Lamar Odom, where he was absolutely horrible the first month or two of the season, and then when Bynum got hurt, he absolutely blew up and did what Lamar Odom has done throughout his career. Anytime that one of those two is out, Lamar Odom becomes a great fantasy option. Once they get back to full health, then it gets tricky.
Yeah, I think the key, though, and it's interesting with the Lakers because you're going to have to sort of gamble on a lot of weeks, they're going to blow out a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see Lamar Odom, because of the role that he plays, he'll still be in games late, and he'll be the focal point of those offensive games. So I think he's going to have still some opportunity to play well. He'll disappear for the first half and maybe even the first 3 quarters, but you'll see him in a lot of fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to see what they do with Bynum and Gasol when both are healthy, because they like Odom on the floor at the end of games because of his ball handling ability, because of his versatility, and he rebounds as well as both of those two guys. So it will be interesting to see the role that he plays going forward.
Yeah, the only thing that troubles you if you're a fantasy owner is that it's going to lead to a lot of erratic results from pretty much all of them. I mean, there's going to be
outside of Kobe and Gasol.
Right, where there's going to be situations where Phil Jackson wants to go this way one game, this another way another game.
Sure.
It's just going to lead to some
results. He's very good at playing the what's going on within the game, the game within the game, and sort of dealing with the roster movements there. We mentioned Iverson for a second. What's his status, and at what point do you think he'll be on the court and can be an effective fantasy option?
Iverson's going to be a game-time decision for the first game. Doesn't sound like he'll play, but the fact that he'll be a game-time decision for the first game makes me think that he should be able to play at some point this week. I would stay away just because it's a tricky injury, especially at his age. He said he's never felt a hamstring strain that's this bad before. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies have three games. I could easily see him missing two. Stay away from him, but I do think he'll be back for week two. It'll be interesting to see how that whole dynamic, because we didn't get to see it in the preseason,
yes,
how that dynamic with O.J. Mayo and Rudy Gay and Allen Iverson and Zach Randolph, and to see how the
and
touches.
Mike Conley.
And Mike Conley. Mike Conley's going to have to become a little bit more of a babysitter and make sure that everybody gets their touches, I think, this year. His assists will go up. I don't think he'll be as much relied upon as a scorer.
Dude, he's going to be on the bench within a month.
No, Jamie Eisenberg is a big Allen Iverson fan this year. He thinks that Iverson will...
I'll tell you one thing, Serge. I look at this in all sports, and sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've adopted this from EMAC almost, Eric Mack, our baseball writer. You always look for guys when their value is down, when they're good players. Sometimes it pans out and you end up getting a steal with a late-round pick.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes you just ends up blowing up in your face. An example of that would be LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. His value was down. He fell to the second round in a lot of leagues and is blown up in your face because he hasn't played well in terms of relating it to football. I'm trying to think of a basketball example.
Of a player who...
whose value was down. Greg Oden last year. Greg Oden's value was down after missing his rookie season. You know,
sure.
You drafted him with the hope that maybe his second year would be a bounce back, and it blew up in your face. Gilbert Arenas last year, same thing. You drafted him with the hope that it would be a bounce back year, and it blew up in your face. This is going to be another year with Gilbert Arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Allen Iverson. We talked about this on our last podcast. Elton Brand, Carlos Boozer, when do you draft these guys? Because there are red flags everywhere, but if they give you 70-plus games,
then
it is
steals.
The steal of the draft, and it could potentially be the difference between a fantasy championship and last place. So
absolutely.
It's one of those scenarios where when do you roll the dice, when do you make the gamble, and then now that your drafts are over, when do you start to use these guys and sort of when you give up on them, when do you start to trust them? Listen, in the majority of leagues, if you drafted Allen Iverson, you got to wait. First of all, the injury. Second of all, let's see how it, you said it. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see what this, how this team meshes. But I will say this. On a team full of gunners, he fits in perfectly.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this situation could actually work out ideally for fantasy owners where they're not going to start him in week one. But maybe if he plays, if he ends up playing, say, the full week, you get a chance to observe from afar without the risk of him being in your starting lineup in case he falters. And hopefully he does play two or three games this week so we get a chance to see how that situation is going to work out.
Yeah, I actually think that you could probably, I mean, depending on where you drafted Iverson and the type of league you're in, you could probably wait on it even 2-3 weeks to see it unfold a little bit because, again, you didn't draft Allen Iverson in the first, second, third round if you were smart.
No.
Coming into your league, you know, maybe fourth round was the earliest or you started to pull the trigger. That's still a little early.
He was going later than that. He was going probably sixth or seventh.
But still, you know, you had the novice users who still recognize the name.
Right.
You see Memphis with no defense and a ton of offense there,
sure.
Potentially. Plus the guy, listen, we're not talking about Chris Paul playing in front of him at the point guard spot. We're talking about Mike Conley, who was good last year,
mm-hmm.
but he's still a young player that if this team wants to, I think, go to a level that they think they can get to, Allen Iverson's been to the finals before. Not
sure.
That he's going to take that team to the finals, but you know, you're talking about a cast of characters that Iverson fits in a little bit better than Mike Conley does.
It's possible, but I don't know if he can be the type of point guard anymore. I think he's become more of a mercenary shooting guard where he's not going to... Could you trust him with the ball for bringing it up the floor all game long when you have a team that has so many other scoring
Agreed.
Options that you have to get the ball
but
to?
But I will say this. O.J. Mayo is probably more suited...
to play a point guard?
To be a point guard than he is to be a shooting guard. He played that in college. He said that that's the role that he wants to play. I remember, you know, just because we lived in South Florida, you know, with the draft that year, the Heat were considering drafting Mayo to be the point guard in the backcourt with Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes to a scenario where there's a point guard already in place in Mike Conley, and, you know, the coaching staff there likes Mike Conley. However, if this team, I think, wants to be, I don't know if competitive is the right word, but compelling and entertaining. You know, they got to draw fans. Memphis doesn't draw fans.
Sure.
Allen Iverson gets people in the seats as opposed to Mike Conley.
Yeah, but I think Iverson will get his minutes. I just don't know if they'll come at point guard.
But who are you going to take, O.J. Mayo off the court,
that's,
or are you going to take Mike Conley off the court?
And that's where I think it's going to be tricky. We're going to have to pay attention the first couple
yeah.
weeks.
I think from a fantasy perspective, I would put my money on Allen Iverson. Emeka Okafor is dealing with a toe problem. He's also dealing with an attitude problem. His teammates are not too happy with him at this point. Where do we see Emeka Okafor for week one? A guy who has been pretty durable the last couple of years after having some injury risk and injury concerns early in his career. Going to New Orleans for the first time in the trade for Tyson Chandler, do we see Emeka Okafor playing a significant role for fantasy owners this week?
Yeah, Emeka Okafor has not missed a regular season game in the last two seasons, I believe, but he's a bit of a question mark for his first game as a New Orleans Hornet. The whispers coming out of New Orleans is that Emeka Okafor did not play in a preseason game. He was dealing with his toe injury, but it sounds like he was cleared to play and practice with around two preseason games remaining, and he kind of told the trainers that he wasn't going to push himself, and that is, as you know, not something that is very popular among teammates. He's there was an unnamed source that came out and said that he better get out on the floor pretty quickly or he's about to lose the team. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly the way you want to start things. I would avoid Emeka this first week just because there is no guarantee that he will play in the first game, and with the Hornets playing three games, you could easily have a situation where he only plays two games, possibly even just one. So just play it safe. Of course, this is going to depend, especially with centers, it's going to depend on your options. If your other option is, say, Jeff Foster or Glenn Davis at center, you're not gonna you might as well take the chance with Emeka Okafor. But if you have any alternative that you wouldn't mind putting out there, I'd go with the alternative.
If you have Emeka Okafor on your team, and you drafted Channing Frye, mm-hmm. and you're setting your lineup.
I'm starting Channing Frye. In fact, in one of my lineups, I did something similar. I had Roy Hibbert as my third center. I'm mm-hmm. definitely starting Roy Hibbert over Emeka Okafor.
Interesting. I always like it when we follow our own advice. Some minor injury. Well, I guess catching up on some injuries and a couple of minor injuries, or at least one minor injury. We know that Kevin Love is out to start the season, so don't plan on starting him even though you drafted him with the wrist injury. Rajah Bell is going to at least hold off on surgery at this point while he makes a decision to see if he can play. Otherwise, he's going to be out for a long time. And then Kevin Love breaks his hand in what is rumored to be a fight with a teammate.
Not Kevin Love. Glenn Davis?
I'm sorry, Glenn Davis. Excuse me, Big Baby. Yeah. Breaks his hand in what is rumored to be a fight with a teammate.
A former teammate. A former college teammate.
Former college teammate.
LSU.
Tyrus Thomas? So he's going to be out for some...
He's going to be out for at least the first 6 weeks. It could take 8 weeks, so he could be out the first 2 months of the season.
There you go.
In Boston. That could be good news for Rasheed Wallace, who, hey, if you have a Emeka Okafor and for some reason Rasheed Wallace is available, he's eligible at center, the Celtics play four games in week one, mm-hmm. that might be your option.
Yeah, he'll be a good source of threes. He'll get you, you know, in the 6 to 7 rebound range, and he'll probably get you 8 to 9 points with that team. Steven Jackson, it seems like everything is happy and rosy in Golden State now, right?
It's so far so good. We all know what happened in the preseason there with he was suspended. He relinquished his captaincy. He asked to be traded publicly, but now everything's great. So we go into the first week of the season, and we have to expect the best. But Golden State has just two games this week. So if you're in a cumulative league and you're a little scared about Don Nelson and Steven Jackson getting along, I could see you reserving him for week one.
No chance.
If you're in an average-based
league, Surge.
You start him.
Surge.
All right. Myself, personally, I have him in cumulative leagues. I am starting him. I'm just saying there is a situation where you could just choose to play it safe in week one and just see if this thing blows up.
Listen, if there were no – obviously, that's the issue. But you're not going to find better players in terms of production than him. Especially we have Anthony Randolph dealing with an injury. He's probably going to be out, right, the first week?
Yeah.
Anthony Morrow, we don't know exactly if it's summer league play is going to transcend into NBA production.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's looked good in the preseason, we don't know what role Stephen Curry is going to play.
Well, it sounds like Stephen Curry is actually going to start at point guard.
That doesn't mean anything for
with
Don Nelson.
Monta Ellis at shooting guard.
Yeah.
That could change by minute five of the first
That's
game.
That's the point. But. You know, they still have Corey Maggette. They still have Kleena Azubuike. The one guy whose role is almost guaranteed safe is Andres Piedras.
Yes.
Almost.
Andres Piedras.
Almost. And the only reason you say almost is because he's a center. And Nelly will go with five guards if he wants to.
Yeah. Al Harrington played center for Nelly in the past. So.
Well, he played Azubuike at the power forward.
Yeah.
So, very interesting there. All right. The couple teams that you need to keep an eye on, just with a lot of issues going on with them. Houston is one. You got to sort of see how that shakes out without Tracy McGrady, without Yao Ming, how Aaron Brooks, how Luis Scola, how Trevor Ariza, how these guys all mesh together. Sergio's convinced that Chuck Hayes is going to be the starting center for the entire season.
No, he is for week one.
You said the entire season. You said, I'm betting the house on Chuck Hayes. You said, I'm going to Vegas, and Chuck Hayes is going to play 82 games at center.
No.
I say Luis Scola. Some other injuries just to keep you – I'm sorry. Well, we'll stick with that.
Well, with Houston, actually, now that you mentioned it, I want to get the name David Anderson out there before the season starts. He actually had some good preseason games towards the end of the preseason. And like we've mentioned in the past, Houston is really thin up front. They, for whatever reason, they want to keep Luis Scola at the four right now. Chuck Hayes is their starting center right at the for game one. But we could see a situation where this Anderson kid becomes a real, real sleeper
Luis
in fantasy.
Luis Scola. Detroit, I want to see how that works out with Ben Gordon start coming over there along with Charlie Villanueva, and how their power rotation is going to look, as well as their backcourt. If, in fact, it's going to be three-guard rotation when it gets to crunch time, and what they're going to do there, that's going to be interesting to see. I want to see what's going to happen in Cleveland with now Shaq there and the Delonte West situation, how they're going to use Jamario Moon along with Anthony Parker in terms of their backcourt rotation. That's going to be something interesting to follow. We have to see what's going to happen in Charlotte because Tyson Chandler is always hurt, as well as now no Rajah Bell, so they're real thin in terms of what they're going to do.
DJ Augustin, everybody.
Yeah, DJ Augustin is going to be great, but we'll see what they do because now they're losing a key guy off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Hawks want to see the Jamal Crawford scenario play itself out. Dallas, I want to see Josh Howard. He's dealing with an ankle problem and how that's going to play itself out with Sean Marion there.
Mm-hmm.
What's Dirk doing with his hair?
I don't know.
My goodness, man.
He's Chris Cooling it up.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. Let's just take a look here real quick. The Clippers, obviously, we know they have their issues. Milwaukee, I want to see that point guard scenario surge. I want to see what they're going to do with Luke Ridenour and Brandon Jennings and how that's going to play out.
I think they start with the veteran early and kind of work Jennings in as the season goes on.
Yeah, let's not forget they have to replace Ramon Sessions somehow, and that's mm-hmm. really going to come from Jennings, I think, more so than it will from Ridenour. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, I want to see how that point guard scenario plays itself out with
speaking of Sessions,
Johnny Flynn and Ramon Sessions. We'll see that. New Jersey, a team that you like to follow quite a bit. Chris Douglas Roberts, Courtney Lee, Terrence Williams. How that's going to play itself out, how Yee is going to look. We'll see how that goes. The Knicks, I want to see Gallinari finally. Let's see how he plays, if he can get a significant role. Will be interesting to follow. Elton Brand going to Philadelphia after the injury plague season last year.
I think in Philadelphia, another thing interesting to watch is how that new offensive scheme, the Princeton offense mm-hmm. with the new coaching staff, fits in. It's a situation where every player has to touch the ball in that offense, including Samuel Dalembert, so it's going to be interesting to watch.
Now I know they said this before the preseason. I didn't get a chance to follow it too much in the preseason, but I know they wanted to go with Brand at playing a lot of him at center. I don't know, starting at center, but playing him at center because they wanted to keep Young more at his natural four spot mm-hmm. and keep Iguodala more in terms of a swingman and going with, I think, trying to get Jrue Holiday involved as well as keeping Willie Green a part of the offense. How's it going to shake itself out? Is Dalembert just a token starter?
No, I think Dalembert, for whatever reason, Eddie Jordan, he says he has a lot of confidence in him. He likes him. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's going to get more offensive touches this year. I'd like to see it before I believe it. But, hey, that'd be interesting. If Elton Brand can get five starts as center.
I don't know starts. I think it'll remain a Dalembert situation.
Uh-huh.
Let's keep in mind, this team on paper in a lot of ways is similar to what Eddie Jordan had in Washington, with Brendan Hayward playing 20 minutes a game, but not necessarily doing a lot. I mean, he gave you every now and then a decent game. Brandon Haywood's production didn't start to go up until all the injuries started to happen in Washington. So it could be a very similar type scenario where you go small. They did that a lot in Washington with Jameson and with Butler and with Gilbert, and using Haywood just sort of in a more of a defensive role, which is what Dalembert is. He's more of a defensive player.
Sure.
Sacramento, I want to see my favorite rookie this year, Tyreek Evans, how he's going to look. Any concerns with Kevin Martin, his injury?
No, that's a day-to-day injury. Kevin Martin is a player who has been injury-prone the last couple seasons.
No.
But right now, there's not reason to panic.
The best player at the end of the season in San Antonio for fantasy owners will be?
Best player in San Antonio for Tony Parker. I think
better than Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I think that we're slowly starting to see a shift from where the big three. It used to be Tony Parker was kind of the third wheel on the big three with Ginobili and Tim Duncan being the major players. I think it's starting to shift to where this is going to become Tony Parker's team as Tim Duncan gets older. We saw it last year. Tony Parker averaged 20 points per game.
That was when Ginobili was hurt, though.
For the first time. But no. I don't think it was exclusively with that. I mean, yeah, Ginobili came back.
His stats took
off.
Ginobili
came back, and he was still averaging 20 points per game.
I'm going to disagree with you, sir.
So I think
you look at what Parker did when Ginobili got the first injury. He came back, tried to play with it, and then he had the shin problem, and then they shut him down. That's when Parker's, those two separate stints, that's when he was really playing at a high level.
Sure. No, but I still think we saw a different Parker last season. We saw his shot attempts increase, and I think that's just the evolution of the San Antonio Spurs, where they're starting to, the window's closing with Tim Duncan and Ginobili. They're obviously still going to be a big part, but they also have to start building towards the future. We saw that they identified that they can't rely solely on those guys. That's why they brought in a guy like Richard Jefferson in the offseason. And we're going to start seeing a shift. That's going to mean more offensive touches for Tony Parker the next couple of years.
So you rank Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, Jefferson?
You asked me what it's going to look like at the end of the year. So by the end of the year, I think it will be Parker, Duncan, maybe Jefferson, even with Ginobili.
Wow. I'm going to totally disagree with you. I'm going to say Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, Jefferson.
We'll see.
Toronto, let's see how this is going to play itself out with Hedo Turkoglu. I think he's in line to be a bust this year, along with Chris Bosh should have a monster season. And DeMar
DeRozan.
He's
one of those players looking for a big contract at the end of the year.
He's one. You know, it's interesting you bring that up because everybody always looks for contract year and how in all sports and how players are going to respond and try and take that to a different level. You know, everybody plays up to that year. Look at Turkoglu the last couple of years, maybe even David Lee. Similar scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what Chris Bosh is going to do because he's one of those guys that could potentially be, he could be the only guy that maybe is in that elite class that moves teams.
Sure.
Stoudemire is going to be one of those as well. I don't think Dwayne Wade's going anywhere. I don't think LeBron James is going anywhere.
Me neither.
But Bosh is definitely going to be in the mix for one of those teams too.
An interesting addition today, our own Ken Berger reported Rajon Rondo couldn't, the Celtics and Rajon Rondo couldn't come to an agreement on a 5-year extension. So Rajon Rondo is going to be playing for a contract this season.
Like that a lot. That's good news to hear. Utah's pretty much status quo, just dealing with that power forward spot with Paul Millsap and Carlos Boozer, how that's going to shake out. And then the Wizards, all eyes are going to be on Agent Zero. We'll see if the Hibachi comes back and plays at Hibachi level or if it's a cold Hibachi. as we know, he's going to take a lot of extra shots now because Anton Jameson is out until at least mid-November.
Sure.
Has that injury with the shoulder. Another guy you just got to have to sit on and wait it out.
And in Jameson's absence, Andre Blotch becomes a better fantasy option. He is eligible at center. I believe it might only be in leagues that allow for multiple eligibility, but he's another guy, like we mentioned Rasheed Wallace earlier, if you have an Emeka Okafor and Andre Blotch is out there, go get Andre Blotch for the first couple weeks.
Check out Sergio's Week 1 Fantasy Basketball Planner. That will be up every week of the season. Fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbsports.com in your league homepages. Really quickly, inside this, we'll bring this up every week. We're just going to run through the list real quick. Sergio's top sleepers for Week 1, as you mentioned, Andre Blatch. Number 2, Chris Douglas Roberts. Number 3, point guard Johnny Flynn for the Timberwolves. Number 4, as we talked about, Brandon Bass. Number 5, Drew Gooden, forward center for the Mavericks. Channing Frye, another guy Sergio mentioned for the Suns. Number 7, Julian Wright getting his first start for the Hornets. As we talked about, Mikal Pietrus. Number 8 for the Magic. Number 9, another net, Terrence Williams. And then 10, Sergio's favorite player of the year, Chuck Hayes, the potential future starting center for your Houston Rockets. So those are the 10 sleepers for Week 1, and we'll see how they pan out. Again, you can check out everything we have going for you, cbsports.com, the first place to get all of your basketball news. We will have all of your lineup, all of your injuries heading into those games that night. We'll have that first. We'll have all of your news, nuggets, injuries.
You name it.
You name it, we got it. You can check out Sergio and Lauren Shahadi doing some video work this year, as well as all of our podcasts, Fantasy Pick and Roll. You could also listen to our Fantasy Playbook football podcast. Download both of those on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/fantasynews, twitter.com/Jamie Eisenberg, and twitter.com/
Sergio AG 519.
Twitter.com/SergioAG519. So check out everything that we have to say, have to do. And again, we'll be doing this all season long, twice a week. So we'll talk to you again in a couple days after we have some games under our belt, and we'll know a whole lot more. For Sergio Gonzalez, Adam Azer, our great fantasy podcast producer, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening.